Translation: seeing him, Bhishma, lying on the ground like a demigod fallen from the sky, the Pandava king Yudhishthir, along with his younger brothers and Lord Krishna, bowed down before him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna was also a younger cousin of Maharaj Yudhishthir, as well as the intimate friend of Arjun. But all the family members of the Pandava knew Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord, although cousins of his supreme, conscious of his supreme position, always behaved in a humanly custom, and so he also bowed down before the dying Bhishma Dev, as if he were one of the younger brothers of King Yudhishthir. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhascha Kripa Sindhubhaiva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna, everybody. I seek blessings from exalted devotees here. I also seek blessings from Srila Prabhupada, my Guru Maharaj, Sri Sri Radha Gokul Nandan Sitaram Lakshman Hanumanji and Gaur Nitai. I feel very humbled when I was asked to give a class on Srimad Bhagavatam, because by no means I feel qualified. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And when I was doing research, when I was hearing the classes from other senior devotees, I felt quite insignificant to be here. And who am I to even speak on such an exalted personality? But somehow I'm here and I would like to convey whatever my understanding is. Bhishma Dev here. Yesterday we heard a little bit about Bhishma Dev and his glorious life, what he was, in what was his position in Mahabharata. And here he is lying in the battlefield on the bed of arrows, not for one day, not for 2 days, but for many, many days. And he was waiting. What was he waiting for? Because he had Ichchamrityu. Arthat, that he could die whenever he desired. That was a boon from his father Shantanu for taking such a vow. The father gave him that boon. Now I would wonder, that was that a boon really, or was that a curse that he could die whenever he wanted to? Also, he had the responsibility. He took that responsibility to look after, to take care of Hastinapur and serve the king who was ruling Hastinapur in his presence. So until the right king came to rule Hastinapur, he couldn't die. He wouldn't die, because that was his promise. And here on the battlefield, after having going through such a horrendous war, where he, being a grandfather, so his own children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren like Abhimanyu, dying on the battlefield. And the whole Kuru dynasty were wiped out. Such a huge amount of people, warriors were killed. Some were Vanrathi, Maharathi, Atirathi, unconquerable people like Dronacharya, Abhimanyu, Karna, and many, many more were killed here. And yet, here is Bhishma there, lying on the bed of arrow, waiting for the right time, that the right king would come and be on the throne, be the king of Hastinapur. And then he could live. But still he was waiting for somebody else to appear there. He was waiting for Krishna to come. And when the king Yudhishthir was lamenting after this war, that because of me, because of my desire to be the king, so many people are dead now. There were uncountable widows, unlimited children without fathers. And King Yudhishthir, being so kind, so soft-hearted, that he couldn't cope with this. Can we imagine the mind of Yudhishthir, being the righteous person, being the son of Dharmatma? He was a Dharmatma, being the son of Yamaraj. What was his state of mind at that time? We cannot even comprehend. And because of his lamentation, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated in everybody's heart, advised King Yudhishthir that the only person can give you some comfort is your grandfather. Because Krishna knew that even Krishna would not be able to comfort King Yudhishthir. And for that reason, they came to the battlefield, the very battlefield which was the river of blood had flown from there. But this great personality was lying there. And in translation it says that seeing him, Bhishma, lying on the ground like a demigod fallen from the sky. What a personality Bhishma was. When I was searching about him in this verse, there is so much to be said. There could be a class after class after class about glories of Bhishma Dev. But in a short space of time, whatever we can say, we would like to discuss that. Like a thunderbolt, firebolt, like an effulgent personality was lying on this bed of arrow. Not from one day, 2 days, for many, many days, until the war was finished, until the king Yudhishthir was established as a king. And the Pandava, along with his brother, King Yudhishthir, along with his brothers and Lord Krishna, bowed down Can we imagine the supreme personality of Godhead who spoke Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield, who told Arjun about all the yoga system, everything? He is bowing down to this personality who is lying on the bed of arrow. And Bhishma Dev, he couldn't get up. He knew Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. And alongside them, there were hundreds of rishis came to see the departure of this great person. Vyasadeva was there, Parashar Rishi, and many, many more rishis from all over the universe came. Demigods were arriving to witness the departure of this great personality. I mean, not in the history of mankind we have ever heard such a departure, where the supreme personality of Godhead would shed tears, that there was never a person before like Bhishma, and there never will be a personality like Bhishma in future. And he was a unique person. And one of the Mahajan, where Yamraj is talking about these Mahajans to his Yamadutas when they went to bring Ajamil, who was full of sins. Yamraj is glorifying, and Bhishma, there is one of the Mahajan, he was not a Brahman. He was not a Rishi. He was a Kshatriya. He was a warrior. And to be a warrior, one has to have a certain quality, mindset. But yet he knew the principles of the religious life. He knew the Vedas. And his life was so pure that he got this position as a Mahajan. And here, Krishna coming to see him, Lord Krishna is establishing what he said in Sri Bhagavad Gita. While he was talking to Arjun, he told Arjun, Yada yada hi dharmasya glaniya bhavati bharatam abhyutatha namad dharmasyam tadatmanam sujamyaham paritranaya sadhuna vinashchaya drushkatam dharma sansarpanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Here, Krishna has met his devotees. Krishna created such a big war to re-establish dharma. And here Krishna is coming to see Bhishma Dev to prove that, yes, your desire to have a king who is a righteous king is being fulfilled. In Ramayana, Lord Ram does the same. To re-establish the religious principle, to re-establish dharma, the Lord comes in every yuga. In Kali Yuga, he appeared as Lord Chaitanya, because this is a different yuga. We cannot do what happened in Dwapar Yuga or in Treta Yuga. So in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya to re-establish Dharma. And reading about Bhishma there, that was his duty to make sure that the proper Dharma was followed, and it would be only followed if the king was 100%. And who else but Maharaj Yudhishthir? In Kali Yuga, the kings are not like that. Kings are not following the religious principles like in other yugas. So how would the Dharma, how would people follow? Who would people follow? And for that reason, Lord Sri Hari appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He established this Harinam Sankirtan movement. And in our present time, our beloved Srila Prabhupada, he came to West at the age of 70. Now I am 70. And there are so many things I cannot do. I have so many limitations. But look at Prabhupada. What he did is no different than what Bhishma Dev did. And at one time, Srila Prabhupada was talking about these 12 Mahajan. I don't remember to whom, but in Los Angeles, he was talking about 12 Mahajans. And one of the devotees, I don't remember his name, and he said, "But Prabhupada, I know the 13th Mahajan." And Prabhupada said, "Who is the 13th Mahajan?" And he said, "You, Srila Prabhupada. You are the 13th Mahajan because you are the savior in Kali Yuga." And Prabhupada said, "Then you must be the 14th Mahajan, because if you see me as the 13th, then you must be the 14th Mahajan, because you see everybody as a Mahajan." But isn't it true? This is a war. There was a Mahabharat war against evil in Dwapar Yuga. There was a war in Lanka between Ram and Ravan. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is full of war against evil. In Kali Yuga, people are generally with demonic qualities, isn't it? We don't see demons with their horns and they don't kidnap queens like Ravan did. People are not sent to the forest for so many years and live in disguise. But this war in Kali Yuga, it's a completely different war. Today's war is external and internal. Is that not right? In Kali Yuga, our war is against ourselves to begin with. And the enemy that we are fighting are from within, which are our kaam, krodh, lobh, moh, mad, ahankar. All these are the vicious enemies. But we don't have personality like Bhishma Dev. We don't have Pandavas. We don't have all these people to fight our war within. And for that reason, Srila Prabhupada appeared here and gave us a weapon, gave us a Brahmastra to fight these enemies, because these enemies are really vicious, more vicious than Kauravas and Shakuni. How do we fight? What is the weapon that we all are given to fight these enemies within? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the weapon for Kali Yuga. And our savior, our Bhishma Dev, is our Srila Prabhupada. So whoever said to Srila Prabhupada that you are the 14th Mahajan, can we not agree on to that? Because Srila Prabhupada did a miracle on this planet Earth and saved all of us. Here, coming back to Srila Prabhupada's purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying that although Krishna is conscious that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet he is bowing down to Bhishma Dev. And the reason behind it? What is the reason? Why the Lord of universe bow down to such a personality? There are various reasons. Number one, nobody had taken a vow like he did. Not only taking the vow, but to follow it 100%. Not even in his mind ever came a desire to associate with a female. And for us, we make a vow when we take initiation to chant 16 rounds, follow the regulative principles, do the service and many more. But I can say from my experience that how many times these vows are being slipped? How many times? Uncountable times. Yet here, for a Kshatriya to take such a vow, where he is surrounded by opulence, women, and so on, but yet his mind was so fixed on Krishna that he never ever gave his mind to anybody. And at the time, he is asking Krishna to take control of his mind completely. When I was young, we used to read Mahabharata quite a lot in our household. And there was a little story in that which I would like to share. That when Krishna came with Pandavas and all these rishis, Krishna folded his hands and asked him that, what can I do for you? What would you like me to do for you? Oh, grandfather, now you are about to leave this world. What would you like me to do? And Bhishma Dev, at that time, tears dropping from his eyes, said that, O Lord Sri Hari, I have one desire. I haven't got any desire. All my desires are fulfilled. There is a right king now established. The dharma is going to be established. Everything is well.
Yet I have one desire left. What is that? I have a daughter who is unmarried, and I would like to give a hand of my daughter in your hand. I want my daughter to get married to you. And people assembled there were startled. Bhishma Pita, with such a vow, he's got a daughter? They were just shocked, amazed. Krishna smiled. He knew the heart of Bhishma Dev. And he said, yes, I will marry your daughter, Bhishma Dev. And other rishis started asking that, who is this daughter? Can here someone tell me who was the daughter of Bhishma Dev? Does anybody know? Which daughter? Now, it is very difficult to grasp, isn't it? Bhishma Dev's daughter was his mind. He said, my Mati. Mati means my mind. My mind I haven't given to anybody. I did my duty, what I had to do. But my mind I have never given to anybody. So now I am leaving this world. I want to give my mind, my daughter, to you, whom I have kept safe from the material contamination. So, O Krishna, before I leave, you please take control of my mind. So, at any time, my mind doesn't go away searching for somebody else. Because in the previous life, who was Bhishma? One of the Ashtavasus. And his name was Prabhas. And while roaming, while going around, they saw the ashram of Vasishtha Rishi. And there was this Kamadhenu guy, this cow, the most divine cow, who would fulfill any desire. And just by listening to his wife, these Ashtavasus, they went into the ashram of Vasishtha Rishi. I mean, can you imagine the mindset? At that level, the Vasus, they are from the heavenly planets. They came on the earthly planet. And they stole. They took away that cow. And for that reason, all eight had to take birth. But this one, the Prabhas, that Prabhas who literally pulled the cow, Kamdhenu, he was cursed that you will have to live a long time on this planet. But others were, they took birth and they were thrown into Mother Ganga, which yesterday we discussed about it. But Prabhas, he remembered, Bhishma Dev remembered what had happened. Because of his mind, he ended up in this material world. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai. Shishi Gaurnitai ki jai. He had to take a birth. And he had to stay here. And under what condition? He was supposed to be the king, the firstborn of not an ordinary personality, King Shantanu and Mother Ganga. Mother Ganga, who appeared on this planet by King Bhagirath in Ikshvaku dynasty. The son of Mother Ganga went through so much calamities in his life. Duryodhan did not respect him. Yudhishthir never listened to him. Pandavas respected him, but Pandavas were helpless to do anything. Can we imagine the life he lived? Nobody to call his own because of his vow. Yet, the whole kingdom was his. He reached the goal of his life because do we not all dream? This is a dream in my mind that at time of my leaving this body, even if I will remember Krishna, it would be amazing. And it's a struggle to remember Krishna on the daily basis. So how many times we forget? We become so engrossed in so many things that we forget what is the real goal of life. And here Krishna came at the deathbed of this great personality because Bhishma Dev had achieved the goal of life. And Bhishma Dev was known by various names. He had many, many names. His birth name was Devavrat, which was given to her by Mother Ganga and Shantanu. Devavrat. What a name. He was also known as Gangaputra. In Mahabharata, he is addressed as Gangaputra Bhishma. He is also known as Shantanava, the son of Shantanu, King Shantanu. By his grandchildren, by Pandavas, mainly, he was addressed as Pitamah. Pitamah means grandfather. He was also known by other kings as Mahamahim. Mahamahim means greater than the greatest in every field. In his etiquette, in his attitude, in his behavior, in his righteousness. That's why he was known as Mahamahim. He was fair in complexion because he's son of Mother Ganga. So he was known as Gauranga. Gauranga means with white complexion, fair complexion. He was also known as Shvetavir. Shvetavir, Shvet means white, Vir means the great. So during the war, at any war, he was always on the side of Dharma. He was fighting for Dharma. So he was known as Shvetavir. His name was Ashtavasu. Few of them knew him as Ashtavasu. And he sacrificed his life. Whole life he sacrificed for the right kingdom. So all these names are
given to Bhishma at various times.
And yet he was the one who had this curse from Vasishtha Rishi. So this establishes for us that committing an offense, doesn't matter how high anybody feels or are or may be, but aparad has got severe consequences. And especially Vaishnava aparad. Here Ashtavasu, they went into the ashram of Vasishtha Rishi, not an ordinary personality, who was present at the time of Ramayana, at the time of Lord Ram. He had this Kamadhenu. And taking away from his ashram was a major aparad. So what is the lesson that we have to learn from here? Have to be very mindful about committing offenses with mind, our tongue, our eyes, our ears. Whatever becomes normal for us can have some severe consequences. Maybe in Kali Yuga not as severe as Bhishma Dev had, but of course the consequences will always be there. And when Mother Ganga took him to heavenly planets, after Shantanu questioned her, Devavrat, while growing up in heavenly planets, he learned so much from various personalities. And the spiritual master of demigods, Brihaspati, he learned the Danda Niti, about Rajniti, about how to rule, and all the Shastras. He was expert in all the Shastra. And Shukracharya, the spiritual master of demons, from him he learned the political science to be a perfect politician. Shukracharya taught him. And in Ramayana, when Ravan was about to die on the battlefield, he was lying on the floor, Lord Ram called Lakshman and said, "Lakshman, I would like you to go and learn the politics of the how to rule from Ravan." And Lakshman started laughing. He said, "You've just killed him. You've just killed him. What politics? He kidnapped my mother. He kidnapped the queen of Ayodhya. He kidnapped the goddess of fortune. And you want me to go and learn from him?" Ram said, "Yes. I want you to go and learn from him." Of course, Lord Ram's order. Lakshman went. And he sat near the head of dying Ravan and said, "My brother has sent me to you to learn about the politics." And Ravan started laughing. Ravan started laughing loudly. In today's term, he would say LOL, isn't it? Yeah, laughing. And he looked at Lakshman and said, "That you want to learn from me and you are sitting near my head? If you have come here to learn from me, that means you are accepting me as your guru. So if you want to learn from me, your place is not near my head. Your place is near my feet. So Lakshman got up and sat near Ravan's feet. And then Ravan was a Vedanti as well. So he taught Lakshman how to be the perfect king, how to rule the kingdom, how to respect women. What do you think Lakshman did? Again, laugh out loud. It was Lakshman's turn now to laugh. LOL. Why? You are here on the battlefield. You are about to die. And the reason you died is because you kidnapped somebody, somebody's wife. And you are telling me how to respect women? So Lakshman explained, I beg your pardon, Ravan explained to Lakshman that yes, I kidnapped Sita. I brought her to Lanka. But did I keep Sita in the palace? Although Ravan had a curse, but Ravan did not keep Mother Sita. He did not build another palace for Mother Sita. Where did he keep her? Ashok Vatika. If we go deep into Ramayana, we would really understand the moods of these personalities. He could have built a golden palace and kept her there. But no, he kept Mother Sita in Ashok Vatika. And who was looking after her? Trijata. All the female were looking after her. And in that Ashok Vatika, not even a male mosquitoes were allowed to enter. Because Ravan, in deep down, he knew who he was. And why he was here, why Ram was here. It started all from Jai and Vijay, isn't it? So we have to learn, we have to understand these from a deeper perspective. And here, so Shukracharya, the spiritual master of demons, taught Devavrat the political science. And Vasishtha Rishi, he taught Devavrat the Vedas, all the Vedanta Sutra. And the four Sanat Kumaras, they taught Devavrat the mental and spiritual science. What is the mental science that Devavrat learned from Sanat Kumaras? Can anybody say? How to keep mental stability? How to keep calm in any situation? How to balance things in mind. In today's life, I am seeing in last 20 years, the mental state of people is so disturbed. I said this in last class as well, that the mental illness is becoming so big at the moment because there are not enough people to teach the science of how to keep balance, to gain material gain, people are becoming completely mad. And there is imbalance. Our life should be like a river. When the river is flowing, it should be supported by two banks. If one bank goes like that, that river who is worshipable becomes curseable. So human life should be balanced between spirituality and material.
So Sanat Kumar taught him mental and spiritual science.
Markandey taught him the duties of yatis. I mean, I advise you, if you would like to know about yatis and the duties of yatis, it is in the Shastra. Read about it. We haven't got time to discuss all that. And Parshuram taught him the warfare. How to fight. And Indra, the king of demigods, gave him all these Divyashtras, celestial weapons. So Devavrat, who became Bhishma, had all these gurus around him who helped him to make his life that perfect that even though living in a palace surrounded by Kauravas, Shakuni, Dhritarashtra, his mindset was so strong because of the trainings. There is, I know we are running out of time, but another personality who living within the demons, yet the mindset was focused on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is in Ramayana, is Vibhishan. When Vibhishan came to Lord Ram, Lord Ram asked him, that Vibhishan, how did you live in Lanka? It's full of demons. The quality is really demonic. How did you live there? You know what was the answer? Vibhishan said that in the mouth, the way the tongue lives between 32 teeth, I lived in Lanka. Isn't it our experience that we have to be so careful, because this tongue, if it crushes between two teeth sometimes, which happens, so painful. But the tongue is very clever, protects itself from these 32 teeth. So Vibhishan said, that's how I lived in Lanka. I protected myself. I protected my mind. And here, Bhishma there lived amongst Kauravas, 100 sons of Dhritarashtra, and none of them was good, I would say. If any one of them were, then they were influenced by Shakuni, by desire of Dhritarashtra, by Duryodhan. And Bhishma, they've lived amongst them. But he protected himself because of all these personalities who had given him the training. So association is physical, of course. It's extremely important to have association. But the association of these teachings, association of what we have learned, meditating on what we hear, is extremely important. Because we can be physically with devotees, but if our mind is not in our control, then we are doomed, what to speak. And Srila Prabhupada says, association is very important. And what is Srila Prabhupada asking us to do? Become Krishna conscious. Become Krishna conscious and everything will be all right. Wherever we go, if we are Krishna conscious, if our mind is, we have given it to Krishna like Bhishma Dev, we will be all right. So I would like to stop there.